Brother Dale, you did a wonderful job. Thank you for leading us in worship this morning. Brother Michael, thank you for that special in song. Choir. Fantastic. And that's not good enough. Y'all truly blessed us today. Thank y'all for all your work, for your preparation for today. But the fact is, today we're here to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I need you to do something for me. First of all, we're going to go to John chapter 20 and verse 1. And as we read this today, I need your help. Because I can't do this. This was written in a little different manner. Now, we're not going to go back and do Greek and all that, but I'm just telling you, I need you to read this as you're reading about Mary and she goes and she finds the tomb. Do not read it as something that happened in the past, because it's not written that way. It is written actually in a present tense, and the idea there is so that you will, as you read, are going with Mary. So when you read about her getting up early in the morning, it's though, you know, we're getting up early in the morning and we're traveling to the tomb, and when she sees the tomb, she didn't see it as it's past. She's seeing it right here and right now. So can you do that for me today? Because it means so much more. Put yourself at the side of Mary and the disciples as we read this. Will you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, John chapter 20 and verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said to them, They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out, and the other disciples were going to the tomb, so they both ran together. And the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, and yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb and saw the linen clothes and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Are you in the tomb yet? Are you in the tomb? Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also. And he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been laying. And then they said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. And Jesus said to her, Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene came, told the disciples she had seen the Lord, and that she had, that He had spoken these things to her. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, open our eyes to see, Lord, what You've prepared for us in Your Word. Speak to us through Your Word, Lord. I pray for those today who do not know You as their personal Savior. I pray that today will be the day that they turn to You for salvation. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now we start off today in this text. It's a very sad time. The hour, the order of the day is sadness and mourning. And like I say, I'm asking you to put yourself there. All right? Put yourself in the shoes of Mary Magdalene. She has lost her reason for living. She is the one to whom Jesus had cast out 7 demons. She's the one that just absolutely adored the Lord Jesus. She followed Him. She supported Him in any way she could. He was her master. He was her teacher. And that man had been crucified. And he didn't just die. All right? She has watched as Jesus stood before Pilate and was totally rejected by His own people. She has watched as Pilate said, "What am I supposed to do with this guy, Jesus?" And the crowd, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." She's watched as He carried that cross to the hill called Mount Calvary. She's watched as they stood at the foot of that cross and make fun of Him. She watched as they drove the nails into the hands and the feet of Jesus. She has seen it all. She was there when Jesus cried out with a loud voice and said, "It is finished." And she watched the life leave that body that she had so had poured herself into. She was at this point, she is brokenhearted. The only thing that Mary has left is that tomb. That tomb. Where the last thing she has seen, them carry that body of Jesus into that tomb, lay it there, and them roll that stone in front of that tomb. Now she has nothing but a tomb to hold on to. You ever felt that way? You know, I've stood at the graveside of loved ones, and it seems so final when, you know, you've lost it all. But you know, you haven't lost it all. There's more than a grave to hold on to here. As a matter of fact, if Jesus had stayed in that grave, where would that leave us? What if the story ended here? Jesus was crucified, He was buried and placed in that tomb. What if the story ended here? I didn't say it did. I said, what if? Did you know we'd be just like every other religion of the world today? There would be this nice, elaborate tomb in Israel that everyone would want to make a trip to see the tomb. We'd be just like those of believers of Confucius, those Buddha, Muhammad, even Mormonism. They go to Illinois. You say, "Brother Doug, you can go to the tomb of Jesus." No, you cannot. You never will go to the tomb of Jesus. "Well, what about the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, Brother Doug? They say that's the tomb of Jesus." They say it might possibly be the tomb of Jesus, but you know what? There's not a body there. They can't prove anything. There are others who say there's this really nice place called the Garden Tomb in the city of Jerusalem, or just outside the city of Jerusalem. And a lot of people believe that's where Jesus was buried. But you know what? You go to the Garden Tomb. There's nobody there. when Mary went back and saw that stone rolled away, I cannot imagine the horror that filled her heart. And it's at this point that chapter 30 and verse 5 comes to mind. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I want to tell you, she's horrified. And she carries the message to the disciples. She arrives and she sees that tomb. The stone has been rolled away. She's filled with horror. She doesn't even have to look inside. She knows that body of Jesus is now no longer in that tomb. So she runs and tells Peter and John. And I love their response. Don't you think it's so cool? Peter and John, they hear the tomb is now empty, and so they burst from their homes and they start running to the side of the tomb. And it says that John outran Peter. I always wondered why John put that in there. I think he was bragging. It's kind of like if Brother Michael and I were in a race, we both know who would win that race, don't we? Brother Michael would beat me there. But they get to that tomb and they see the stone has been rolled away. They look inside and the grave clothes are still there. The handkerchief which had been wrapped around his head is neatly folded and laid to the side. The grave clothes are still in the same spot where they had laid the body of Jesus. And verse 8. Oh, John said... I love this. John says, I outrun him, but I was too scared to go in there. I waited for Peter. Peter goes in, and after I see it's okay, John goes in. But verse 8 says that John saw and believed. You ever wonder what John believed? You know what John believed at this point? He believed that Jesus was gone. That's what he believed. He didn't yet believe in the resurrection because the Bible says verse 9, for as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise from the dead. So at this point, they're clueless. They just know that Jesus is gone. And so what did they do? They did what any other self-respecting man would do. They got to the tomb. They saw, yep, he's gone. Well, we might as well go home. I find it interesting, men, that the guys went home and Mary stayed there and wept. She refused to go home. And as she's weeping, pouring her heart out at the entrance of that tomb, she looks into the tomb once again. And she sees two angels. One at the head, one at the foot of where Jesus had been laying. And the angels asked a very important question. Why are you weeping? Why are you weeping? Mary said, they've taken my Lord. And you just feel our heart. They've taken my Lord and I do not know where they've laid him. And Matthew chapter 28 verse 6, the angels answered her. You know what they told her? They said, he's not here. He's not here. He is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Can you imagine? If you're there with Mary Magdalene and you're just pouring out your heart and you look in there and somehow at this point it doesn't dawn on her that she's seeing angels, because I think if it had, she would have perked up just a little bit. But she's just bawling and uncontrollable weeping, and they say, what's wrong with you? They've taken my Lord. And then the angels say, he's not here. He's risen. What would you think? Yeah, right. I need to go cry some more. Something's not right here. And so it continues She continued. And she turns around. She hears another voice, Mary. Or actually, verse 15. The other voice says, Woman, why are you weeping? Of course, this is Jesus. And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him and I will take him. Just let me know where Jesus is. You know, as I read that, that's the big question. I've wondered how many people are here today who are in that hopelessness. Religion has nothing, is nothing more than just a place where people go and sing a few songs and go home and forget about it until next time when they show up. I wonder how many people have heard the story of Jesus and you're very conscious of the fact, okay, Jesus died for my sins. I've heard about the Calvary stuff all my life. But you don't get it. Because He's not living on the inside of you. Listen to me, my friend. It's at this point that you back up and you've got to look at the tomb. There is no other religion on the earth today that can produce an empty tomb from which their leader lay because he rose from the dead. Now listen, you are here today and you've got to make up your mind. You're going to decide before you walk out these doors, you're going to decide, is this Jesus thing, is it really real? And my response is, absolutely it's real. These people, the disciples, Mary and the other women, they experienced it. They were there. They saw the empty tomb. They heard the message of the angels that said He's risen. But what I want you to get is what that means. That means because He is risen, we too will not be held by a grave. For those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. What is the most fearful thing in this life? Is it not death? When you close your eyes and you go into that unknown, is that not fearful? I want to tell you, as a child of God, no, it's not. Makes you a little nervous, yeah, because we've never been there. But see, I want you to get the profound nature of this resurrection is because He lives, we will live if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we go on, and this is the most beautiful part, okay? He said, why are you weeping? And she supposed He was the gardener and said, if you'll tell me where you've laid Him, I'll get Him and I'll take Him. And then Jesus, in verse 16, Jesus said to her, you know what He said? Mary. He said, Mary. Up to this point, Mary has seen angels. Up to this point, Mary has seen Jesus. But you know when she recognized Jesus? Was when Jesus said, Mary. 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 I'm reminded, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. You see, that's when the resurrection of Jesus becomes real to you. Is when you hear the voice of Jesus and you have the opportunity to hear the voice of Jesus because Christ came to call all men to repentance. You cannot sit here today and say that I have never been convicted of sins. I want to tell you, you are in the presence of Jesus today. And if you do not know Him as your personal Savior, you cannot sit here and ignore the voice of Jesus because He is here. And He's calling. I remember the day that He called me. 8 years old. And Beloved, let me tell you something. It was as real as this. I'm standing here before you today. He convicted me of my sins. But the wonderful thing about that call was, He didn't accuse me of sins. He convicted me of my sin. There's a big difference. You see, Jesus showed me I was a sinner. And then He said to me, "Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He gave me a place to go with my sin. You see, that's the problem with the world today. The world today, they don't want to hear that you're a sinner. Yeah? We don't want it to be pointed out that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there are certain things that if you do that are in direct conflict with God. But I want to tell you something. Until you realize your sin, you'll never be saved. You won't. I love this. When Jesus called Mary's name, you know what she said? "Rabbi, teacher, it really is you. You are alive. You are risen from the grave." And so she immediately goes to Jesus. And that's how you respond to Jesus, by the way. She immediately goes to Jesus and she attaches herself to Jesus. Now, let me ask you, if you had a loved one, somebody that meant the world to you, I mean, your world was built around this loved one, you thought they were dead, and you saw them after you thought they were dead, what would you do? Would you not attach yourself to them? I mean, wrap your arms around them and bear hug them as if, "I'm never going to let you go. I almost lost you this one time, and I'm never going to let you go because you're alive. I've still got you." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And we don't get this in the translation, but He said, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." What He's saying is, "Mary, you got to let go of me. You got to turn me loose. I've got to go to my Father. And Mary, you, Mary, have got to go tell my disciples. There are things to do. We can't stay here all day with you holding on to me." You know? And I know there's many who think Jesus hadn't received His glorified body yet and go real theological with it. And we could discuss that one. But that's not it. It was basically Mary's holding on to Him for dear life. But isn't that the way you're supposed to respond to Jesus? I mean, here is a lady whose heart was broken. Go with her. She goes back to that tomb that's empty. She comes and tells the disciples, and they come and show up. Yep, it's empty. They go back home. And she's just pouring out her heart at the entrance of that tomb, and she finally sees Jesus. And she latches on to Him as if she's never going to let Him go. Here's my question. What is your personal relationship with Jesus? Friends, He is alive. Okay? He's alive. How do you know He's alive? Because Mary saw Him. Well, that's just one woman. No, there were a bunch of other women that saw Him. Plus the 11 disciples. Plus 500 witnesses. Well, how do you know they're telling the truth? Well, duh, why would they lie? Why would they lie? Because they're going to give up their lives also, you know, as martyrs for the cause of Christ. And let me tell you, I might die for some things, but I won't die for a lie. I won't do it. And they wouldn't either. They saw the risen Messiah. Today, if you're here. And you know, and I'll be honest with you, it's real easy for Easter to become this Easter stuff. You know, you do this stuff. Everybody goes to church on Easter, and you wear your Easter clothes, and you get real religious on Easter. But here's my question. Have you really experienced the joy of the resurrection? Are you a child of God? If not, there's no hope. There's no hope. Because one of these days you're going to die. You're going to die. And when you die, everybody listening, when you die, hell's your home. Oh, Brother Doug, you know, don't be so blunt. Listen, I know that the Pope last week announced that there wasn't a hell, but he's wrong. There is a hell. I show you in the Bible. And you'll either spend eternity apart from God in hell, or with God in heaven. But the only way you're going to heaven is by receiving the resurrected Son of God, Jesus Christ, who paid your sin debt upon the cross of Calvary. There is no other way to heaven. You will not get there because you're good enough. You're not good enough. You will not get there because you're Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Pentecost, or whatever else there is. You will get there by placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Have you done that? Have you responded to Jesus? Go back to the tomb and listen for your name. Doug. Mary. Beth. Michael. Jesus is just as much here today as He was at that tomb. Are you a child of God? If not, this invitation's for you. Will you come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. Lord, as we go back to that day, a day of celebration. Glory to You, our God, that the grave couldn't hold Jesus. And I pray today that everyone present who has not responded to Your call upon their life, that as You speak to them today, as You convict of sin today, that, Lord Jesus, they would respond with a saving faith in You. Lord, Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?